So this morning we're in English, and we're going to be looking at or something touching on something that was shared at the convergence, and we're kind of just latching on. This is what we feel that the Lord is saying to us as a larger body. How can we hear what's going on other parts as well? And what does He want to say to us through the larger body of Christ? But just before we do that, I just wanted to encourage, before I forget, this Wednesday, the 23rd, all cell members, everyone that's in cell, we're going to gather together here as a larger part of the body so that together we can kind of hear what is God saying to us for this congregation. What is the direction that He's leading us in for 2023? And how can we as a body hear and identify, okay, this is God's golden thread. This is what He's saying to us. And we need to respond. So those that that are part, please come. Everyone is welcome that we can come together here, chat, share, talk, pray here, and then lay it down and trust the Lord in the process where we can look forward to 2023 with a bit of clarity, with a bit of direction as a result of hearing God's voice. So please join. And if you can't join for whatever reason, and you're still hearing something from the Lord, if there's something specific on your heart, please share it. Share it with Didi or Christoph, send it through, chat, whatever it is, so that we can also put it on the table. Because corporately, as a body, we want to hear God, and we want to grab onto what He's doing so that we can respond. Session three in the convergence was this guy, I think Lange is his name, and he talked about a lifestyle of worship. And normally when we talk about worship, the scripture, Romans 12, is always coming up. But the crux of it at the end that he said that, and it was rock solid, was worship is an external expression of my internal posture. So whatever's going on in here, the desires that I have, the wants that I have, the whatever is here is going to be expressed externally, whether we like it or not. It's just a natural outflow of what is going on here. And he used Romans 12 verse 1, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer up your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." So basically not something that Albrecht just mentioned this morning. It's not just standing here, praise and worship. There's something of lifestyle. It's with my lips, but also with my lifestyle. And how do I love my wife? How do I raise my children? How do I operate at the business? How do I shop at Spar? How do I, whatever I do, am I doing it in such a way that it is pleasing to our God, the true and proper worship? And so we're going to kind of just touch on this, but something that gripped me while I was listening and as I was going through this, asking the Lord, you know, what does one share here? This word, therefore, got me. In the beginning of the scripture, therefore, op grond van, the result of, and I stood still there, this word therefore, and I said, okay, but it means as a result of, op grond van, of what? And God took me to a story, but before we go there, let's just pray and ask the Lord to help me, help us to hear His heart and to see what He wants to say. Kom ons maak ons oog toe. Ja, Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the opportunity to be in a position where we can worship, where we can live life worshiping you, where you've called us into a place where we can know you, see you, experience you. And I really pray that this morning that we'll all get a kind of a glimpse of your heart, your kindness, your goodness. And help us to understand this therefore. What is that? Therefore, op grond van wat? What is it, Lord, so that this lifestyle of worship will become a reality in us as individuals, us as a body of Christ, so that you will be pleased, so that you will take pleasure in, and so that this world, this broken world, will experience something of you, a glimpse of light, the salt that brings flavor, this fragrance in the midst of the stink. Help us with this, Lord Jesus. Please give us grace upon grace and open up our ears so that we can hear your voice clearly. I pray it in your name. Amen. Amen. So you can go to the next scripture there. We're looking at Matthew 20. There's a story that Jesus told, Matthew 20 from verse 1 to 15. Luister hierdie horlosie smartwatch. I had for oggend for my, of just reminding me, these things are too clever. I was sitting there at the back and he says, just listen, just a friendly reminder, your stress levels is way too high, take a breather. Hierdie goed is hopeloos te slim vir my. Maar obviously, yeah, my heart is just a bit nervous this morning, and I think God is really wanting to say something to me personally and may possibly to us. But let's dig into this. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early one morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay the normal daily wage and sent them out to work. At 9 o'clock in the morning, he was passing through the marketplace and saw some people standing around doing nothing. So he hired them, telling them he would pay them whatever was right at the end of the day. So they went to work in the vineyard. At noon, and again at 3 o'clock, he did the same thing. At 5 o'clock that afternoon, he went into town again and saw some more people standing around. He asked them, "Why haven't you been working today?" They replied, "Because no one hired us." The landowner told them, "Then go out and join the others in my vineyard." That evening, he told the foreman to call the workers in and pay them, beginning with the last workers first. When those hired at 5 o'clock were paid, each received a full day's wage. When those hired first came to get their pay, they assumed they would be receiving more, or they would receive more, but they too were paid a day's wage. When they received their pay, they protested to the owner, "Those people who worked only for 1 hour, yet you paid them as much as you paid us who worked all day in the scorching heat." He answered one of them, "Friend, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Take your money and go. I wanted to pay this last worker the same as you. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my money? Should you be jealous because I am kind to others?" So what would you have done? I know what we would probably all, ons is maar baie goeie Christene, say, "Hallelujah, thank you Lord that you helped that person." Nee, hoe is dit nou? Wat gaan daar aan? How does that work? And obviously it was this kind of not fair situation. And it's understandable. These guys worked for 1 hour. I'm sure you kind of, they picked up the tools and they just got started and die vlekkie het geblaas, hulle is al klaar. And these guys kind of struggled with this idea that some got something that they don't deserve. Because they got something that they did deserve. They were agreed to it. They said, "Listen, I'm okay to work for a full day's wage. I'll put all these hours in. That wage that you want to pay, 100%. Shop, I'm good for that." But something popped up when someone else got something that they didn't deserve. There was something shaky in their heart there. And it wasn't unfair at all. It was just an extra portion of kindness from this landowner that said, "Shucks, man, I've got compassion on these guys. I'm going to give them a little bit more." Do they deserve it? Not at all. Was it as a result of their work ethic, their hard work, their this, their that, their performance? Nothing. It was just as a result of the landowner's kindness. By eenvoudig, really straightforward. So this word that he had compassion or felt pity and decided to act kindly towards them, there's this word that we use all the time and we see it throughout the Bible, from Genesis all the way through to Revelation, and it is mercy, genade. So in English, mercy and grace is two little different of a words, but they're pretty much in the same, but let's keep it as mercy. And by definition, it's having compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone who should have received punishment. Or mercy is not getting what we do deserve. Not getting what we do deserve. So that worker that worked for 1 hour, he deserved something. He didn't get what he deserved. He got more. He got extra. And it's a weird thing that most people find this kind of jealousy or this dis daar's 'n ietsie as hulle dit kry, if they getting something that they don't deserve, something happens like these guys in the story. And I asked, well, what is it? Why would they, what's the problem? And it's because the standard of this world, we work in a different way. It's all according to merit. Merit means I do something, I get something. I work a certain amount of hours, I get a certain amount of wage. I study certain amount of years, it enables me to get a certain job. And all these things are great, and it's good, and it needs to be there. But that is the standard of this world, is everything is done by merit. I perform, I get. And so when mercy steps into the scene, onto the stage, where someone is getting something that they don't deserve, it's like, whoa, this is not normal. I'm not used to this. Why? He didn't deserve that. He should be doing much, much more to get what he deserves. And that's why mercy at most times kind of, it doesn't make sense to many. It's a struggle to grasp simply because of the pattern that we grow up in. Everything is merit. Everything is performance-based. And I don't think that's bad. I think there's room for that. But there's also room for mercy, and we see it in this story very clear. So I think the one of the other reasons why people possibly struggle with this is because it seems to me, and please correct me if I'm wrong, it seems to me that some qualify for mercy and some don't. And it's a hectic thing to grasp. We see it in the story that some qualify to get extra. They didn't deserve it, and there were some that didn't receive it. And if we look around the world, we see that some experience an incredible amount of mercy, getting something that they don't deserve, and some don't. And maybe just briefly, just quickly, mercy doesn't eliminate justice or what they deserve. So justice, in other words, is getting what I deserve. And I kind of see it like this: mercy and justice, they're kind of walking together. But it comes to a point where justice stops and mercy will continue. So I should, in that story, they should have deserved this, and justice would have said, you only should have earned 1 hour of work. But mercy came in and continued and gave them something they didn't deserve. So does it throw justification out the window? Not at all. But somewhere, somehow, justice stops and mercy continues. And it just goes that extra step. It's giving something extra as a result of kindness. And I think this is also why people struggle with this kind of idea, is it? Because why do they and not him? Why do she and not her? And why does this and not that? Because it just seems so unfair. Because we've been brought up with a merit standard. Everyone should get what they deserve. But mercy says, well, ek gaan hierdie ou dit gee en hy het glad nie nodig nie. So, and I'm pretty sure that some of us here, and it's bold and it's probably that some of us here might experience mercy and some might not. Outside this four walls, we see people that experience it and will get mercy, and we're going to see people that will not get mercy. And how does that work? Who qualifies for mercy? Is there qualifications for mercy? And who's going to get it and who's not going to get it? And I was very careful as I was searching the scriptures, because this could be disastrous if it's not biblical doctrine or biblically based on the Word of God. And I see that there's probably other things also, but I see that there's three qualifications. Those who receive mercy. Three qualifications. You can just leave it on that slide at the moment. Three qualifications who deserves mercy or who receives mercy. And it's really straightforward. And it's something that I would be able to teach my children to say, hey, this is how it works. And it's so simple and straightforward that they would be able to understand. And I don't think it's unfair. I don't think that there is unfairness. If I understand what Jesus was talking through that scripture where he said, am I being unfair? because they got their justice, they got their wage that they were willing to work for, but I was just giving extra kindness to them. So is there such a thing as unfair? No, not at all, not according to Scripture, but there was just an extra bit of kindness. And so we're going to look into that briefly. Three qualifications. Let me just get them. Right, so first qualification. And again, some of us might walk out here and have an opportunity to experience and receive mercy, and some might not. Is it unfair? I don't think so. First qualification, you can set it up there. Those who ask. So this is the first qualification of those who receive mercy, is those who ask for mercy. And I just want to briefly, just quickly, a story. And there's a bunch of scriptures. If you want to write it down and go and read it, but we're not going to go through every single scripture. We don't have time for that. But there's one story that I want to bring out here, and that's in Luke 18, 9 to 14. And it's these two guys. One is this kind of, he's a good guy. According to it, he's fasting twice a week. He's paying his tithe. He's a nice guy. He's reading the scriptures. He understands it. And then there's another guy, and he was this bad guy, known as a tax collector in those days. And a tax collector in those days was someone that was working for the Romans. And the Romans said to the local guy, it said, listen, if you want to do our work, then just go and collect all the tax from your people. And you can choose what you want to collect. We just want this amount. And all the rest you can put in your pocket. So tax collecting wasn't a bad thing, but the way that it was done was terrible. And as a result of that, they were seen as these heavy, very bad people. And these two guys, they're coming to the temple, and this kind of good guy fasts twice a week, pays his tithes. You know, he's that kind of guy on Takealot. Anyone shop from Takealot here? There on checkout, donate 5 rand to this. Mooi plakkie, julle ken. Hy's daai tipe ou man. Hy's 'n oulike ou. He's a nice guy. He's doing what he needs to do. And he knows that. And he walks in there and he prays in the temple. And he says, thank you, God, that I'm not like them. Like these murderers and these rapists and these evildoers. Thank you that I am not like them. And especially this guy here next to me. This tax collector. Thank you that I am not like them. Like him. And the other guy walks in. This tax collector. And he walks in. He doesn't walk in. He's kind of scared to walk in. He's standing from a distance and he's kind of, according to what I'm seeing in the story, is hy swaal vir 'n bietjie bang. Because he's realizing that there's a holy God that he's dealing with. And he says one thing. Lord, please have mercy on me. I realize who I am. I realize where I am. And I realize I don't belong with you. That I do realize. So anything that I do or don't do cannot get me here to you. And he realizes that. And he asks for one thing. Please have mercy on me. God gave him mercy. He asked for it. Did he deserve it? Not a chance. Not one little drop of mercy. But he asked for it. And God gave him mercy. And there's so many stories throughout the Bible. If you look at Moses throughout the desert, taking the Israelites, and hulle het net droog gemaak over and over and over. And one point Moses asked God and he pleaded for them. And he said, Lord, please just have mercy on them. According to your kindness, your good character, your compassion, please have mercy on these people. And he asked it, and it was given. So those who qualify, one of the qualifications is those who ask for it. And there's so many stories. The prodigal son, that heart attitude of coming back, and he came, and from far his father saw him, but he came with this, just have mercy on me. I'm willing to be a servant in your house. Whatever it is, I don't mind. But please just have mercy on me. And he asked for it and he got it. The second qualification of those who receive mercy is those who share. Take it to the next one. Those who share mercy. And I kind of see it, I don't want to make it all weird or whatever, but I kind of see it as like a, you know, you receive, like it kind of like electric current. It has to go, it's received, and there's a continuation of it. It needs to go somewhere. And those who receive a bunch of mercy and, oh, lekker, ek is nou gered. I'm saved. I'm this. I'm just in a good place and I'm okay and everything is hunky-dory for me, myself, and I. It comes to a point where they don't experience that anymore. They've experienced mercy, what it is to be saved, what it is to have this incredible new life. But if it is not taken to a point where they continue to share that mercy on someone else, then something happens. And we read it in, and again, I'm just going through these scriptures, and again, just one story of it, but if you go and you study these scriptures, you will see all of this is straightforward. It's not rocket science. But one of the stories is a king was doing up his admin, and he realized there was a bunch of people that owed him lots of money. And he got the one guy in that owed him a bunch of money. Lots. And he said, listen, I'm going to deal with you harshly, your children, your family, the this and the that and all the rest of it. There's going to be consequences as a result of your debt with me. And this guy broke. And he said, please just be patient with me. Please just have mercy on me. I will do what you desire. I will do what you require. I'm okay to accept my consequences, but just be patient with me. Have mercy on me, he asked. This guy that owed the king. And the king had compassion or felt pity towards him. This word mercy. Didn't deserve it whatsoever. And said, okay, listen, I'm going to scrap it. It's clean. Jy het geen debt nie. Gaan maar. And free, experienced mercy. Mercy that released him, brought freedom, made him, can you imagine that kind of burden that was just, oh, and he went straight to someone that owed him money. He said, luister, is oh, you owe me not even a tenth of what he owed the king. And he said, I want my money now. And the guy said, yes, please. Please just be patient with me. Have mercy on me, please. And he uitgesê, nee wat. And he took him into prison and he said, you'll be there until you finish paying me. And a couple of the servants or people that was around, they looked and they said, what's going on? This guy just got forgiven for thousands and thousands and thousands. And they went to the king and they said, king, you won't believe it. This guy just went and threw a guy in the prison. He grabbed him by the neck and he said, and the king called him in and he said, listen, I'm bringing you back to justice. And he got what he deserved. And then mercy came in and he didn't get what he deserved. But because he didn't share what he got, didn't do to others what was done to him, that mercy was removed. And he came straight back to Mr. Justice and said, you're going to get what you deserve, unfortunately. So those who don't share. There's another story, and it was a story that I heard, so not my story, another Wimpy. He was a mentor for a guy, and this guy was at a point where he was just, he wasn't growing in his relationship with the Lord. He grew and he was a passionate believer, but it came to a point where he stopped growing and he stopped experiencing peace. He stopped experiencing these things that we read about in God's Word. And it was bothering him. And he went to his mentor and he said, I don't know what's going on here. I really just want to continue growing in God. I want to feel this life and I want to experience this life that he talks about in his word, and I don't know what's going on. And in this mentor's wisdom, and obviously led by God, by his spirit, he said, it's got something to do with will. He said, will? What, like my will? Or he said, no, that written thing that we do, we write wills. It's got something to do with that. What is it? What could it be? He asked. And this guy thought a bit and he thought, no, it must be my father's will that my father wrote. He said, why? What was it? He said, my father, before in his will, he gave everything to my brother. Everything. And I've been battling with this for long. I said, okay. And he said, and the mentor said to him, this is what I believe you must do. Go to your brother and say, I'm so glad that our father gave you everything. And he said, well, it's been so long anyways, I may as well. I'm not going to get anything out of it or anything. He said, just go and forgive your brother. Go forgive him and make him free from this thing that's in your heart. And he went and he forgave his brother. And in that moment, he realized that the abundance in mercy, the abundance in this life as a result of mercy was way greater than he could have gotten in his inheritance. Greater than that. And he was dead living in a place where I just want to grow. I just want to this and this life. You know, even if I had all of that inheritance and not this, then what am I? And he went and he forgave his brother. Just that. And he said, so I'm glad that Dad gave you everything. Their relationship was restored. He was forgiven. He was free. He was growing in Christ. Because he received a bunch of mercy, but he wasn't able to forgive just as he was forgiven. And I really believe there's some that is in a position right now where we have been so forgiven, but there is something in our heart towards someone. And we are struggling to forgive. And when we do that, we are basically saying, I'm willing to receive mercy, but I'm not willing to give it. Did that brother deserve that? No, it's unfair. It was unfair. It wasn't about fair and not fair. It wasn't really fair. So did he deserve to have his brother's compassion, his brother's forgiveness? Probably not. Not according to this standard of this world, merit. But according to mercy and the kingdom of God, for sure. And he did. And he was released. There's another scripture that I just want to quickly read. I wasn't planning to read it. Galatians 6 from verse 1. If you want to get it there, it's not on the board. Galatians 6. Oh, Zach, no, he didn't swear. In Galatians 6, verse 1, it says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who is spiritual or you who have received mercy should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And then he goes on and he says, if anyone thinks he is something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. It's pretty much like that Pharisee that prayed and said, thank you, Lord, that I'm not like them. Which sin is greater? The tax collector or the Pharisee that was full of pride and thought he was the bee's knees? Which is greater? No, there's no difference. Sin is sin. Sin is something that separates us from Christ, however it looks. And whatever that sin is, if it is separating us from Christ, whether it is a lack of forgiveness, or a prideful attitude that my righteous ways, my actions, that I can do this and I can do that, and thank you that I'm not like that. That sin is the same as this poor tax collector that was broken as a result of, but at least he was humble. Humility says, I acknowledge where I am and acknowledge who God is. Pride says, ek is eintlik all right where, yes, I don't know about you, but I'm in many positions where I'm not okay. Third qualification of those who receive mercy. Next one there, next slide, that's what I say. Those who do not exploit it. Exploit, misgebruik, misuse, receive it, and misuse it. Also, all those scriptures, not going to go through them, just touch this very briefly. But there is a story, and it's a very basic story. It's going to a sea, and there was this guy, and Amaltan, Lekker op die strand, and December holidays, And all of a sudden, this guy is hearing someone drowning in the water. And he runs in and he saves this guy, drags him out, towel around him, pats him dry. This guy is shaken up and he's very grateful. He says, yes, yeah, I owe you my life. Thank you so much for saving me. He says, no problem, it's okay. Walks off and he goes and sits again. And this guy who just got saved, see it too. Straight back into the sea, swimming and starts to drown again. And this guy who just saved him runs and saves him again. Takes him out, a little bit confused, and says, yes, yo. So biki moi dankie so, man. But anyways, says, yes, yeah, I owe you double. Thank you for saving me again. I owe you double. Says, sharp, just think about it next time. And he walks off. This guy goes in again, and he's drowning. What's that guy going to do? Nee, yes, yeah, you moet maar nou sukkel. Huh? And we laugh. That's what we do with mercy. You don't want to be saved, oh. Jy wil nie gered wees nie. Jy moet maar daar bly. Misusing this incredible mercy of this person. I don't want to be saved if I receive a bunch of mercy and every time I go back to sinning the same thing. The same deliberate sin that I know I've been saved from this. But now I'm going straight back. And I see it in many of the stories of God where he says, listen, Israelites, I see julle loop op din ys hierso. I'm sharing my mercy over and over. Why? Because I really do love you. But you are taking my mercy and you're exploiting it. And I don't want to turn away from you. I'm not turning away from you. You, like that guy, are turning away from me. And you are going straight back into sin. And that is where you want to be. And so somewhere, at some point, it stops. And basically, when we're doing that again, we've received mercy, and when we exploit it, we bring ourselves back to justice, judgment. And if I have to be completely honest with you, I know what it's like to be without Christ, to be a man that walks without God in this world, which is broken, which is falling apart, economy, things is happening where we've got zero control over it. And I know what it's like to be in the midst of that storm without Christ. But I also know what it's like to be in the midst of that storm with Him. And I don't think mercy is changing too many outside circumstances, although it might and it can, and God can do what He likes to do when He wants and how He wants. That's true. But I think mercy in today's age where we're at today is helping us in the midst of where we're at, in the midst of tough circumstances, in the economy that's falling apart, in family situations, in hail, in all these things where we receive mercy and we know how to navigate as a result of something. And we're going to get there. But again, sin separates me from God and everything of Him. This peace, the security, this idea of eternity with Him. I deserve not to be with Him in eternity because I was the one that turned my back and went away from Him. Not Him saying, although He can do that too, but I don't think that's God's heart. It's most of the time me that turns my back and says, okay, so go to the next slide there. So I deserve, but I got, is a very big reality for us all, for me personally. If I look at what I deserve in terms of merit, the standard of the world, in terms of spiritual life with Christ, eternity, what I deserve is not being with Him as a result of what I did, what I do. But I didn't get that. I got mercy. I got an opportunity for mercy anyways, let me put it that way. I got an opportunity to ask for mercy, and I received it. where I was invited into a new life, where I experienced joy, peace, freedom, where I experienced this idea of being part of God's plan. Like this little me, nothing, nixie. Kind of just getting a glimpse from bird's eye view. If you look at this earth from out of space, it's this beautiful ball. And from there, you see nothing of me, myself, and I. But somehow, me, myself, and I has been invited to this table with him and says, hey, come and join me. And so I deserved a bunch of, ek het 'n groot pak slag nodig eintlik. When I was a person without Christ, that's all that I deserved. Was just discipline. I deserved hell. I deserved anxiousness. I deserved freaking out in the midst of circumstances in this world. I deserved zero peace. That's what I deserved because that's what I was led to. This is what that was merit for me. But I didn't get that. I got peace. I received a life with Christ. I received the possibility to be with him back in paradise as it was in Eden. That's what his desire is. And I received that possibility that one day, if I continue walking with him, that everything will be restored. And he will do that. But I, Brett Fuljoen, received that. I got that. And I don't deserve it. Nothing that I did could get me there. Nothing like fasting twice a week, coming to church on a Sunday, putting up my hand in worship, giving R5 there at the Take a Lot checkout. Nothing that I can do can get me there or give me the things of God. Mercy, peace, freedom, joy, lack of anxiousness. Nothing. It was just like the landowner that came and said, I see what you deserve, but I'm going to be kind and I want to give you this. I'm going to give you this. But he leads us to a place where we ask for it, share it, and do not exploit it. And hopefully, and not all of us. And again, as we walk out here, there might be some that is qualifying for mercy, and there might not be. And we see that throughout this world. And but the greatest thing that I received of all time, to be honest with you, and that I need the most while I'm here, and so that paradise restored would also be a reality for Brett Fuljoen, is I received the Spirit, God's Holy Spirit. And I didn't deserve it. Because ek was a fail, dirty temple house that wasn't a welcome place for an incredibly clean, fresh, beautiful, comforter, counselor, Spirit. And there was only one that was in ever, if it talks about the standard of this world, merit, if there was only one that was ever in a good place to receive this Spirit or to walk with this Spirit, and that was Jesus. And that's why he did. Because he was clean. He didn't have sin in him. His temple was clean. It was beautiful. It was a place where it was a welcome place for this holy, holy, holy Spirit that was part of creation, part of making these mountains speaking, where there was light, animals, creation, and everything that we see. This Holy Spirit that was part of it all. I got this. I didn't deserve it. And it's the greatest thing that I need in this world today, with this mess that we are in, is to walk in it and to have an incredible amount of joy and to see this incredible plan in the midst of this mess and to have wisdom today. I don't deserve wisdom. I deserve a pak slag so I can have a bit of direction. But I got wisdom so that he can lead me in direction. And it's just, his ways are just way beyond me. And I did nothing to make myself clean so that I can receive a Spirit that could guide, lead, love, teach, and bring me into a very intimate place with my Creator. Because that's the only way that I've come into this intimate place with Him, is as a result of His Spirit, not my 5 rand at the checkout. Nothing. Nothing of me. Only His Spirit within me that guides, leads, shows, nurtures, and His love for the Father, His worship towards the Father, is something in me now. Oh, it's mooi. And I didn't deserve it. But I got it. I got it. There's two scriptures that I want to just quickly read there. John 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, and I underline the Comforter because it's exactly what He is. It's really beautiful. He's a really pretty Holy Spirit. He's really pretty. He's beautiful and He's comforting. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I said to you. Baie eenvoudig, baie praktiese skrif. I need this in today's world so that I can love the Father, so that I can walk with Him, but so that I can navigate in this time that we are going through, so that I can ask for mercy, so that I can share mercy, because I struggle to share mercy, because my standard is merit. That oh doesn't deserve it. I'm going to get crazy. Mercy says, okay, my kingdom says that. And if He over and over it exploits it, I see these three qualifications, it works very well in a business also. There's warnings. But it does come to a point where you see you've given someone a chance. You've shown them mercy. And it comes to a point where it's not to feel, oh, yeah, you don't want to. Yeah. And so the same applies in kingdom. Next scripture, Galatians 5. So I say to you, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of the sinful nature desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I was reminded of this, that I received the Spirit, but I've got a responsibility to keep in step with that. There's this constant walking, talking, everyday living life with God, taking responsibility, responding, checking where I'm at, and that is done within body, probably the best. But the scripture of my mercies is fresh every day is a reality. It wasn't a, okay, Brett, I gave you mercy 20 years ago. Oh, gaat jy ou? Jy is nou reg. You're fine. No. Today, I'm waking up and I say, I know exactly what I deserve. But these mercies is fresh today. But will I ask for it when I'm in a place where I know that I need it? Will I share it? Because if I don't share it, then I'm taking that fresh mercies and I'm kind of just saying, I'm done with you. I want to be brought back to justice. I want to get what I deserve. Oh, it's not a lack of black to be. It's not a nice place to be. And so there's something in this by, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And let us be a people that see God, to keep in step with Him. The scripture says the wind blows where it wants to blow. It does what it wants to do. You have got zero control over how this wind is going to blow. Nothing. And if you try to have control of it, you're kind of just stepping out of it. You know, that's the only control that you have, is just to step out of it. To go and isolate yourself outside that wind. But that wind, that guiding of the Holy Spirit, He will go where He wants to go. You can isolate yourself and go lock yourself in a place without wind. That's fine. But He will continue. Oh, and I didn't deserve to be led by the Spirit, but I am. I received a Spirit that is beyond my grasp, And so, go to the next slide. So now, with maybe just a little bit of a glimpse of mercy, just a small little idea, maybe not in its fullness. I don't know if we were able to grasp God's mercy in its fullness, but with a little bit of a glimpse, a view, we look back at this word, therefore, in view of God's mercy, therefore. And now, therefore, it means for the reason, or referring to something that was previously stated, or possibly that's why, or in Afrikaans, op grond van. And we read that scripture again. Go to Romans 12, I think it's the next slide. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And the only way that it can be true and proper is, yeah, offer your bodies, for sure. But it is a result of, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. And if you read Paul's writings in Romans, the whole verse, the whole book before Romans 12, up to chapter 11, 1 till 11, if you go and read it through, you are seeing this incredible story of mercy. How God's mercy was on his people. How he did a bunch of stuff. And he's just painting this picture of mercy. And then finally, Paul says, okay, with all that in mind, all that what God has done, his kindness to those that did not deserve, therefore, with that in mind, offer your bodies. Respond. Give yourself, because you owe him everything. Because if it wasn't for that mercy, where would we be? Back to justice. So, where am I anyways without it? I'm nothing. I don't deserve anything. So why wouldn't I offer my body as a living sacrifice? Because without that mercy, ekkes niks werd nie. And the only reason that I am is because of a spirit within me. And now, with that in mind, therefore, go for it, Brett. Lay your life down. And lay your life down is just your spiritual act of worship is, again, going to that thing that Lango said in session 3, worship is the external expression. It's what's happening outside, my external expression according to my internal posture. And my internal posture was changed by mercy. I received an incredible God as a holy God, as a friend, as a father, as a creator, and everything internally changed. So naturally, externally, things should happen. And the only internal change that can be there is done by the Holy Spirit, not by your R5 on the take a lot thing, not by the great things that we do, which is also good. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to say that we don't do good things. God calls us to be good doers of good. Great. But let just me know that the righteous, those righteous acts is not saving us, is not enough for us to have a Holy Spirit, for us to be in relationship with an incredibly kind God. It is just his kindness. And then it is my response. Have mercy on me, Lord. Have mercy on me. I know who I am. Have mercy on me. And then go and share it. Forgive those that you are bitter towards. Share it with someone. Say, "Ek my die ou het glad nie my kindness nodig nie. He doesn't deserve at all any sort of kindness. Look what he's doing." Try share it. Try share this mercy that you have received. And then the reality is, don't exploit it. It happened with the Israelites. God shared his mercy over and over with his people. Over and over. Not just then in the Old Testament, but today also. And it came to a point where he said, "Nie meer nie." And the earth opened up and swallowed a lot of people. Because they didn't want to be saved like that guy. They experienced, tasted mercy, but ultimately their sinful nature, the desires that we see there in Galatians 5, was overwhelming towards them. And that's why I say the only thing that can truly change that, go back to that scripture, please, Galatians 5. The only thing that can change that, let's quickly read that again. The sinful nature wants to do evil, just that's what we do, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants to do. And now I've just been given the Spirit and I start desiring different stuff. Oh, this lekker. This kind God is incredible. And I don't have to strive to do different stuff. I just have to say, Lord, please have mercy on me. Please work it in me and help me to work it out. And so just go back to that last slide, I think it is. Worship is your external expression of your internal posture. And I think Albrecht said it this morning, worship is not just coming to a fellowship gathering on a Sunday and we are singing and praising. That is one form of worship. How I love my wife is worship. How I treat my children is worship. How I work at my work is worship. How I walk these streets is some form of worship one way or another. And might be evil, it might be not good worship, not pleasing to God, worshiping as a result of me, myself, and I, so I'm going to do that so that I can get, so that I, and that happens naturally. Just unfortunately, as a result of being in this world, this happens naturally, but thank God that He gave us something that we don't deserve, and that is a Spirit that guides, leads, comforts, helps, shows, encourages. It's an incredible privilege. And so, ek het eintlik, Albrecht, as het reg is, die eerste liekie, nee, voor af, can we sing that again, just as we finish off? Because if I read those words while standing there and I said, this is just one clear song, picture, whatever you want to call it, of God's mercy. Not what I did because His kindness. I think those words are there. And so I guess just to kind of round it off, these qualifications are real. And I ask myself, but why aren't people asking for mercy? Like, why do they not qualify? Why did it? Or I have these three. I think these two things. I think many people that don't ask for mercy, new life, Spirit within, in this broken world, is because they don't know of true mercy. It hasn't been shared with them. They haven't experienced it. They haven't seen it. Possibly, it might be. So if people do not, in a place where they don't know nothing of mercy, why? I think it's because they don't know. And it's one of the reasons why God is saying, you need to share it. People need to experience. I've seen it, and I don't need to put up names, but I've experienced mercy through other people's lives. How they've received mercy, and just as a natural flow of their new life within them, this new Spirit, I've been experiencing mercy from them, and I got a glimpse of Jesus Christ as a result of them showing mercy. And so that might be one of the reasons why people don't live out a life under mercy, is because they don't know. Another reason might be because they're exploiting it, and they've chose to come back to justice. And this is real. It's a very real thing. Or another reason is because we don't want to share. It's not that mercy is not there. It's all there. And we're in a position where we are hearing this. We are reading it. We are seeing it from Genesis all the way to Revelation. I'm seeing a God that just pursued a people that rebelled against Him all the time. How does that work? But anyways, we are sitting here and we are seeing mercy. We can take it. We can say, thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Help me to share it. Help me not to exploit it. And according to that Galatians 6, help me, someone who has received mercy with new life, help me to help others when they fall into sin, the sin that separates us from Christ and takes us straight back into that water. Help me to gently help them. To say, luister, Pelly, dit is nou nie baie slim nie, jy moet maar hier uitkom en ek gaan nou vir jou help. And I'm just not going to pat you down and go sit again. I'm going to pat you down, but I'm going to take you with me now. Because I see that you're just constantly going back there. and that's exploiting mercy. But I'm going to help you. I'm not just going to say, okay, jy is nou reg. And that's what relationship is within a body of Christ, within believers. Some call it walking with, some call it that, some call it nurturing, mentoring, discipleship. There's all these words that we use. But the reality is that I'm gently helping someone saying, hey, don't do that again. But I'm going to do it again because that's what the sinful nature does according to Galatians 5. Okay, but come, I'm going to take you because I see you're going to do it again. And we're going to walk with one another in this. It's a beautiful idea, a beautiful reality. So before we sing this song, as hulle weg, that's all right. Is hulle reg met dit? Seker. Maybe it's just the words. Let's look at the words. Let's soak it in. Let's sing it as a prayer. Let's sing it as praise unto him. But before we do that, let's close our eyes and I just want to pray for us, please. Yeah, Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your mercy. Thank you for being that kind landowner that chose to give us something that we don't deserve. Mercy. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to be with you now while we're here in this world, but also afterwards when we are done. And we know that it's not guaranteed, but we need to stay in step with your Spirit, Lord. And thank you so much for giving me your Spirit, giving us your Spirit. We do not deserve it. You were the only one, Lord Jesus, that deserved it. But as a result of that, you chose to take every little filthy bit that made this house unclean, this temple unclean, and you made it fit for the Spirit, and you took it all upon yourself on that cross. Thank you for forgiving us, Lord, and making us clean so that we could receive this incredible gift and where we could experience and receive mercy. It's just on my heart, let's stay seated, keep your eyes closed. But if there's, and I believe something that the Lord wants to just bring out, if there is something in your heart and you've got this unforgiveness towards someone and it's there and it's causing and it's staying in your heart and you know that you need to forgive, you know you need to go boldly to that person and you need to talk and you need to, just like that one guy said, brother, I'm glad that gave you that. And if there's something in your heart, then you need to forgive someone. And that might just be keeping you in a place where you're not experiencing freedom, where you're stuck. There's something in my heart of this, Lord. And if it is possibly you, maybe just as a declaration, just as a response, stand up and I just want to pray for courage for us. So that we can go out here and forgive. So that we can continue receiving the mercy and sharing it. And so be bold and respond to God and say, God, I need to forgive that one. And let's do that. If there's someone that you need to forgive, stand. And I will pray. And just while you stand, keep your eyes closed. Lord Jesus, you are so kind to us. Have mercy on us, please, Lord. Thank you for your incredible gift of forgiveness and making us clean. I pray for each individual that they will have the strength, the boldness, the courage to go and forgive just the way that you have forgiven, so that we can continue being a vessel of mercy, receiving and giving, experiencing your incredible mercy, Lord. And I pray for each individual that they will experience this freedom, this but that they will also have the boldness to respond in action. And if there's something that they need to do practically and to go to that person, please give the courage, knowing that an abundant life of mercy is way valuable than whatever they have done. And I pray that there will be a release in all of them. Oh Lord Jesus, you are good. Thank you for this incredible gift of your Spirit. Help us to keep in step. Help us to keep in step with your Spirit so that we can navigate in this world being vessels of mercy. And in view of mercy, therefore, in view of mercy, help us to lay our bodies down as living sacrifices, that everything that we do will be worship unto you, simply because of mercy, simply because you were kind and you invited us to this table. It's an incredible privilege, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of this plan. We love you, Lord, and we say yes. And in the view of mercy, we surrender and we ask that you will have your way with us, please. Because we know what we deserve, but we also know what we got. And we thank you for that, Lord. We can all stand and let's finish with a song.